to get a little feedback on where the conservatory is right now, and try to get a little more information on what we can do to move forward and kind of build up the conservatory here at Mitchell Park. I'm assuming it's just this button. There we go. All right. So a little background. The American Public Gardens Association is the leading professional organization in the field of public horticulture, and APGA serves public gardens and advances them as leaders, advocates, and innovators. The development and membership symposium was 3 days long and concentrated on how botanical gardens and conservatories can grow their membership. I don't know if you all can see this okay. It's a little small, but can grow their membership, build a major donor program, generate programmatic income, and create corporate partnerships. The symposium took place in Dallas and Fort Worth and included presentations on membership metrics, donor cultivation, volunteer engagement, fundraising leadership, and corporate sponsorships. And we all had the opportunity to engage with the presenters and other attendees on how the domes and the conservatory can address the challenges that we're currently facing and that this task force is put together to help address. And so we went to the symposium to get insight in these challenges and see if there are any similar circumstances from similar organizations and how they address the issues that they faced. So some brief takeaways, mostly that the dome situation is not like any other that other organizations that were there have faced in the recent past. There are few entities that are ran by a department of a municipality. Most are their own 501c3 nonprofit, most public gardens. The infrastructure issues at other gardens was rarely as severe as what's at the domes currently. And most gardens are built with growth in mind. And by growth, I mean physically, organizationally, and programmatically. So they are all kind of structured in a way, physically and as an organization, to grow and expand. And with that being said, the greatest takeaway in what the Mitchell Park Conservatory has is a lot of potential for the future. First, some limitations. The conservatory's mission is at a plateau. For the organization to grow financially and programmatically, the building and conservatory needs to grow physically. The lack of space is limiting the number of students that can use education facilities, the size of groups that can rent space, the scope of events, and the ability to host multiple groups without disrupting standard operations, all of which limit the amount of revenue that can be brought in for and by the conservatory. And not having physical room for growth has led to the domes being at this standstill that it is at, being at this mission plateau. So when we returned back from Texas and all of us convened and discussed what we had learned, the biggest takeaway is what we had learned was what success could look like for Mitchell Park Conservatory. So in observing what other organizations are able to do, what we got out of the symposium was an idea of what success would look like. The first being the ability to rent out the facility. This is, what's pictured here is Dallas Arboretum's Rosine Hall, where we spent the majority of the time at the symposium. This is funded with private charitable donations. It is 5,000 square feet exclusive space used for special events and meetings, and it is a reliable source of revenue. Can I go back? Yep. We were able to use this room without disrupting any of the operations or regular programming or disrupting any other room that is being used by any other organization or event. Similarly, if the Mitchell Park Conservatory had this capacity, it would be able to expand programming while also bringing in revenue. Additionally, expanding revenue-generating commodities is something that could be explored. Expanding the gift shop for merchandise sales, adding a cafe or restaurant, and having meeting rooms available to public to be able to rent out. Picture here is Cafe Calatrava from Milwaukee Art Museum, which is a way they're able to generate a little more revenue and also give their guests another reason to go to the Milwaukee Art Museum. It's also where I take my mom every Mother's Day. Great place. All right, so we could also be successful at the domes by expanding programmatic ability and potential programming for more events. So more events would mean more engaged members of the public and more revenue. Current room size limits group size and whether classes are able to use them. Currently, larger classes cannot enjoy the conservatory because there's simply no space for them. And currently there is no space for basic necessities. And the two pictures I used here were from two different entities that were at this symposium. The top is from Oklahoma City Parks, and it's a free park, but every year they have annual big events. This is from their Pumpkinville event, and it brings in a lot of interest, a lot of people, and I believe that event alone generated a couple $100,000 from ticket sales and different things. And then below is Rory Meyer's Children's Adventure Garden. That is from Dallas Arboretum. It was an incredible garden that even all of us as adults were enjoying, and it's a really great space for children to enjoy, and I also thought it was really interesting. It's basically ran by a board of high school students, so it gives high school students the opportunity to kind of run this space as their own and kind of manage it. So there's also the opportunity for naming rights currently at the domes. The facility is currently limited in how donors and members are recognized. There's potential for sections of flower beds to be named and acknowledged for donors' annual renewal. There's potential for each room of the building to be named after major donors. And construction and renovations make it possible for future naming rights. Again, that is naming different rooms, naming new greenhouses, and that sort of thing. And also, so rebuilding or expanding building brings in an opportunity for major gifts through naming rights in capital campaigns. This picture is from also from Dallas Arboretum. This is a 10 by 10 flower bed that they have naming rights for annual gifts. So this is something this sign here changes with each season, and people have the opportunity annually to give, to have their name there and have their family recognized or loved one recognized. So additionally, success also comes from the growth of membership and the number of engaged constituents. The more that the conservatory has to offer, the more that can benefit members. for example, members-only events or areas of the conservatory, and special reservations for members. This is another thing that's from Oklahoma City below, and it's proposals at the gardens. It's a specific package that is offered to members at Oklahoma City, and that is offered for someone to have a wedding proposal at the park. And Friends of the Domes already have 1,600 members, and they have made a priority to grow the number in the immediate future, so that is something that could see success as well. So, in conclusion, we came back with several questions to be considered, and I think is important for this body. How is the conservatory a part of the bigger landscape of what is viable in Milwaukee? Is there capacity for support to reconstruct the domes or to build new buildings? How might changes to the conservatory impact the annex? What is the long-term viability for the conservatory to be part of the Milwaukee Park system? Or what would it take for it to be its own entity? How does it currently impact the neighborhood and region? What impact could a conservatory with broader programming and capability have on the neighborhood and region? And is there enough demand for a conservatory? So if anyone has any questions, I can take any questions. Otherwise, there's our contact information if you want to contact us directly.
Are there any questions from the task force members?
Just a couple of comments. I'm with the Friends of the Domes. Friends of the Domes pays for the annual membership into the American Public Garden Association for the facility. This is a very recognized organization throughout the country, and we help support that. In addition, the Friends also sent two of our staff members down to the conference in anticipation of the fundraising that's going to have to take place for any plan that is proposed. Again, this is a great, the American Public Garden Association is a great resource to tap into.
Thanks, Jay. I enjoyed the presentation here. Can you go back to the very last slide, please? Two things that I think the first to last bullet point really captured my attention, and I think it bears exploring. How does this facility currently impact the neighborhood and the region? And I take that to mean the Menominee Valley, and Silver City neighborhood.
Right.
My personal thought is that with greater integration, we can do a lot. So that's something I'm interested in exploring further through this and this county. The second question follows the first, I think. And again, I urge my colleagues to, as in addition to thinking about the very nitty gritty stuff of the what, the how, if we're interested in repairing and preserving the domes, which is the county policy, this stuff will have a large role in seeing that through. I appreciate you including that. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
I probably have a number of questions, but the first question I'd like to ask is, what is preventing there to be naming rights for the domes for the conservatory now?
Right now, there isn't. So that is something we could start doing right now. That's a good point. One limitation is and that's something I brought up as well, is naming after rooms. When there is only three rooms, that certainly limits things. And both of the facilities we were at had several large lobbies that had conference rooms. They were great destinations, not just for a great way to spend your day, but also great space to check out a great a great resource for the community to be able to use. So, as far as flower beds, like I brought up, I think that's a great opportunity right now. And I think the folks from Friends of the Domes that joined us would definitely agree. I think that's something that they definitely took away with as well.
And then, could you remind me how many square feet are in the annex?
No, I cannot. Sandy, do you know square feet of the annex?
10,000. 10,000 square feet if you remove the bathrooms and storage, 9,000.
That's 10,000 if you remove bathrooms and storage, it's 9,000 for purpose of the minutes.
And so I believe I've read in an analysis or perhaps it's been said here before that for some reason there can't be an event in the annex at the same time as there's an event in the domes, or I think you implied that in one of the earlier slides that the other facilities can have more than one thing going on at the same time.
Right.
And what prevents that from being done here?
Well, with the two different spaces, I don't think anything prevents it, unless I'm mistaken. But as far as us using this space right here, we have to do it when the building is closed. So that's kind of what I was implying here is, you know, there's this task force that convenes and it can't convene in a separate space. It has to wait until the building is closed and wait until operations are done. And that's something that we need to do because of limited space. You know, there's meetings at other entities that go on all day long and all night long. That doesn't affect programming at all. But, you know, if we held this meeting 6 hours ago, it would affect the normal programming of and operations of the domes.
And then could you explain to me the question, how might changes to the conservatory impact the annex? What does that question mean?
Yeah, so whatever option we go with, what impact does it have on the greenhouse that's behind us? So whether that's programmatically or if that's something that the best option is to tear down the new building, you know, that's just kind of a question that needs to be considered. And I don't have an answer to the question. That's why it's a question.
This is more a comment. I understand the conference was entirely on fundraising and membership. And
correct.
Sort of growing mm-hmm. the support base. But I think, and I like these questions as well, I think you have to be a bit careful about where the cart is and where the horse is. And looking at the mission statement here, the conservatory's statement is to provide Milwaukee County with a horticultural showcase, educational opportunities, cultural programs, horticultural information, and protection of certain rare and endangered species. That's the horse, and I think we have to keep our eye on that as we go forward.
I agree. Yeah, absolutely.
Any other comments on this agenda item? Thank you. Now we'll move on to the next agenda item, which is a status report on the request for proposals that has been submitted. The 20th of this month, Monday, was the deadline for receiving responses to our request for proposals. And Julie Gaston will update us on that status.
Hello, my name is Julie Baston. I'm project engineer with Milwaukee County Architecture and Engineering Division, and this is a quick update on where we are with the RFP. The RFP being the Future Path and Feasibility Study that